I found personally that one of the most fruitful ways of encountering the Bible, the scriptures, is to read them with my imagination, that I can place myself in a scene with Jesus or the characters in the story and actually ask myself, what would it be like? What would it sound like? What would it taste like? What would it smell like to be in that scene? To use all of my senses and all of my imagination as I read the Bible. And I had a parishioner tell me yesterday he had a granddaughter who tried to do this in a certain sense. She was with him at Mass one weekend, and after the gospel, she put a bag over her head and was walking up and down the pew, and they were mortified, like, what is she doing? And then after Mass, they asked her, what were you doing during Mass with that bag on your head? And she said, well, didn't you hear Father during Mass talk about the blind man? I wanted to see what it was like to be blind. That's a great way to pray, actually. To put our senses and our imagination at use as we try to encounter the graces that the Lord has for us. Of course, sometimes it's easy to do this because we have other experiences that we can rely on. Sometimes it might be more difficult. Like, I can't really imagine what it would be like to be blind or to be deaf or to have certain qualities that some of the characters in the story might have. But sometimes I think it's easier for us because of our past experiences. And the readings today, I think, are really rich for us because we have a new shared experience this year when we hear these readings about leprosy. Many of you before last year probably had never quarantined before. You'd probably never removed yourself from Mass and worship and the community. You've probably never isolated yourself like we had to do and still do in these times of COVID. But that would be the experience of these readings about leprosy, that when a person had leprosy, they had some kind of disease that other people feared. The person was labeled unclean. They actually had to go around town, say, unclean, unclean. They would be in colonies outside the camp, as we heard from the book of Leviticus. They weren't able to enjoy the relationship and the freedom that others would have. And we can share a certain commonality with lepers today. Whether you were sick yourself this year, or whether you came into contact exposure with someone, or you were in your house for some reason or another, we can see what it would have been like for those who were ostracized and isolated. They were prevented from worship in the synagogue. They were prevented from communal living with others who didn't share this same disease. And there was great fear. You know, when you saw a leper coming, yelling, unclean, unclean, you ran the other way because you didn't want to come in contact with them and catch what they had, because then you'd be unclean. And we can really relate to that fear and that isolation that lepers would have experienced in first century Israel, and that they still experience today in leper colonies in different places around the world. And so we can read these scriptures, I think, with a freshness today and read what Jesus did in a great consoling way. First, we read here in this gospel passage from Mark that he approached this man who was kneeling in front of him and begging. He approached him with compassion. The phrase that we get is that Jesus was moved with pity. Now, those words might fall on us on deaf ears, perhaps, but this phrase, specifically in the Greek used, is a very strong emotion. Actually, every other place it's used in the scriptures, this Greek phrase is associated with anger, that Jesus was moved with pity. It was a strong emotion. It wasn't just something like, oh, you'll be okay, buddy. Jesus was moved in a really strong way. Perhaps it even had a connection with anger in it. Now, was Jesus angry at this leper? Of course not. But what might have moved him so strongly, even to anger? Well, you'll know that Jesus was that second person of the Trinity who came down from heaven to pick a fight. And the fight that Jesus wanted to pick in coming to earth was not against men or women, but the fight was against sin and sickness and death. And so when Jesus sees this man struggling in this severe sickness that would ostracize him from the community and even cause death, he was moved. Because here he was face to face with the enemy that he came to defeat, sickness and death. And so Jesus is moved in this moment with the leper. And then in the very next phrase, he says, he stretched out his hand toward the leper and he touched him. Imagine what that would have been like for you. Here you're ostracized, you're sick. No one will even look at you. They run the other way when they see you coming. But then this man comes and he touches you. No one wanted to touch a leper. No one wanted to even be in their presence. But Jesus, here, the God-man, touches him. Jesus would have even made himself unclean through that touch, through that motion of compassion. Jesus touches him, and then he says to him, I do will it. Be made clean. And Jesus heals this man. He heals him of his sickness, but he also heals him of his isolation. And then he tells him, go and tell the priest. Go and show the priest that you've been cured. Because as we heard in the book of Leviticus, it was the priest who could declare this man saved. He could declare him now clean and able to come back into communal worship. So Jesus says to him, go show yourself to the priest. You've been healed. Now be restored back to the community. Because we know it was both of these plights that the man suffered from the physical illness, but also from the isolation that came along with it. Now, as a priest, I've been able to personally experience moments like this in the last year. To be able to go into homes of people who were isolated, or even to go into some senior centers and go door to door to some of our parishioners. And they'd been in those rooms for months without any kind of access to the sacraments. When they saw my face, I swear that no one's ever been so happy to see me. Their eyes just lit up. There were tears, whether they were their tears or my tears. To see how moved they were and how moved I was to touch them, to bring them the sacraments, to welcome them into communion. And that's what actually the sacraments do for us. They're the touch of Jesus, whether it's receiving communion or receiving confession, reconciliation, or marriage, today's World Marriage Sunday. Any of the seven sacraments that we receive is the touch of Jesus. He touches us through physical, tangible signs that actually contain the realities that they signify. That when I confess sins or bring the Eucharist or celebrate any of the sacraments, I am able to stand in the person of Jesus and touch people, touch them in their isolation, touch them in their sickness, and bring them restoration and health. This is what every priest does. And Jesus, this high priest today who comes to the leper, at the end of the story, it says he went outside in deserted places and people kept coming to him from everywhere. I think in this last Sunday, before we go into the desert season of Lent, this is a great line to end on. It's the last line of our gospel today. Jesus going into deserted places. We heard in Leviticus, that was the place where the lepers lived. It was the place of isolation. It was the place of the desert. And this is where Jesus goes. He goes there to do battle with Satan. He goes there to be alone because others are willing his own death. And so that's the place where we might find Jesus in these coming weeks of Lent. He goes into the deserted places. He goes that we might seek him out there. And so my encouragement to you as we get ready for this season of Lent is that you would come to Jesus in those places of loneliness, come to him in those places of desert, and that you might allow yourself to be touched by him in the sacraments and in your times of prayer.